Welcome to Planes, Trains, and Kids Abroad. I'm your host, Erica Budd, and my goal is to inspire you to travel with your kids to other countries. From single parents to families of eight, each experience is different, and each person provides a different perspective. If you like the show, please leave a podcast review and help other listeners to find the show. And don't forget to check out my award-winning picture book, Travel Rangers Mission to Australia, and take your kids on an adventure to learn about the country and culture of Australia. Trust me, your family will not want to miss augmented reality technology that brings the book to life. Now, let's meet our next guest. Okay, well, today on the show, I am joined by Lydia Aguirre. Oh, I kept practicing her name. I told her I was determined to say it. I can't roll my R's, so I tried my best. I do apologize, so thank you. I cannot roll my R's. It drives me nuts. Anyway, thank you for joining the show. Just a quick introduction, and then I'm going to have her introduce herself as well. Lydia is a single mother, one daughter, who is now 7 years old. As a single mom myself, I love having, we have another single mom podcast out there as well, our episode as well. So I always love hearing from other single moms because I think it's good to show other moms that it's possible, you can do it. She's originally from Texas, but she's lived in Mexico and Korea with her daughter. And she's actually headed back to Mexico next week from this recording. By the time this post, she will actually be living back in Mexico. So Lydia, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Erica. I'm glad to speak with you and your audience.
Yes, I am excited to have you. It's funny because I've been told that I really need to reduce the length of my podcast, but it's so hard because every situation, every experience is different. I could speak to 10 single moms in a row and I'm still not going to get the same experience, you know? So it's hard. I try, but Lydia and I were going over everything we were going to discuss and it's just not happening. There's just too many things to talk about. So let's get started. I will start a little bit differently. I used to start with kind of give us your entire background, but now I'm kind of condensing it to just a little bit shorter of a background so that we can focus more on things specific to you. So what I loved about you and what I was excited for you to share with everyone was how scared you were to travel abroad with your child as a single parent. So let's talk about that. Why were you so scared? Because I know a lot of parents can relate to this. A lot of moms can relate to this. So share that fear with us. Why were you so scared?
So yeah, I think that even though before I had a daughter, I had traveled a lot and I was a very confident traveler when I was in my 20s, just something shifted in me when I had a kid and I just felt this enormous sense of responsibility for this little human and just, you know, her safety and her well-being. And so I just, you know, taking her somewhere where I'd never been before just completely freaked me out because I thought, you know, what if I can't fully do everything that I need to do as a parent to be able to take care of her because I'm in this new environment. So it was mostly just that. And then also, you know, I have to have an increased budget if I'm traveling with another kid, you know, with another person, then I've got to think, just kind of be more responsible financially, just takes more planning. And then also, you know, she has another parent. So just talking to her dad, the idea of even mentioning, you know, to him that I'd like to live in another country with her was really nerve-wracking to me. I just had no idea how he would take it. So it was just, it were those few things kind of just hindered me for a while. It was an idea in my head that I had for a long time before I actually put the plan into motion to say like, yes, we're actually doing this. So yeah, it's just scary. You know, it's just a new thing. Everything new just takes a little bit of forethought and a little bit of planning. Yeah.
And it does. And I think, like I said, I know it's common. I know it's common for a lot of parents, a single parent, especially single moms, to be scared to travel alone. And you mentioned you and I talked about that a lot as a having another parent. Like, how did you do this? Because for a lot of single moms that are able to travel abroad for long periods of time, the other partner's not in the picture, right? For you, it was. For me, it is. And I feel like that's what keeps me from staying somewhere for a longer period of time. So to hear you that your daughter's son or daughter's father was a part of her life, because what, how often did you say he used to see her before, like before you guys moved to separate states?
We were both living in Texas at the time. And so he saw her every other weekend. And then later he moved to Indiana. So we changed our custody schedule a bit. Obviously it wasn't practical to see her every other weekend. So he has her now in the summers and then during the holidays, winter holidays. So,
okay. And the reason why I wanted to ask that, so thank you for sharing that, because I know that can be a little personal, but the reason why I wanted to ask was kind of twofold. One, we get it. It's not easy. Like you even mentioned that if your daughter's father lived in the same state again, that you probably wouldn't be able to live in other countries. Right. So for other moms out there, because I kind of get tired of being told, just do it, just do it. It doesn't work that way exactly. You do, if you have an active parent, it's not as easy as people make it sound. So I relate to those people because, you know, I think it's great when you have the other parent that's involved, right? You want that. That's ideal. So I want to say that I relate, and I know you related to that as well. For you, it obviously opened that door because once he moved out of the state, it's like, hey, you don't see her all the time anyway. So what difference does it make? Now you still needed his permission.
Yeah.
I mean, and you were scared.
And yeah, he's still actively involved. But yeah, our schedule is very different. So it just allows me to take her during the school year. And then when we have those breaks, then he has her, you know, all summer long. And then he has her, we just flew back to Texas for over Christmas break so that he could spend Christmas break with her. And we're, you know, we still do phone calls a lot. But it would have been the same schedule between Texas and Indiana or Mexico and Indiana. It would have been the same visitation schedule, I guess. So it, like you said, it doesn't really matter where we are as long as she's taken care of. So
yeah, but the other thing to grab out of there is you were scared. It wasn't easy for you.
Oh,
you
no. Did it up is terrifying, you know, because like, I mean, how on the other side of that, like if he would have brought that up to me, I wouldn't have known what to say if he wanted to, you know, take her somewhere. But he was so good about it. You know, I think it's because we already had a good relationship before that. And so just having that trust, like that for me just shows that he has an enormous amount of trust in me because he was very accepting and he was involved in the research process with me and everything. And he even, you know, signed a notarized form. I've never been asked for it, but, you know, whenever you travel as a single parent yeah. with, you know, you need the notarized permission form ideally, but.
I recommend that as well. Yeah.
Asked for it. I have it. So. Yeah, I am really, really grateful to him, but it was very nerve-wracking to bring that up. I even actually like just randomly, messaged another single mom who was living in Mexico, Merida, where I wanted to go and just said like, how did you go about, and we didn't even know each other in person. I had just connected with her online. Like, how did you even bring it up? You know, like, so, I mean, I've been that person who was totally scared and terrified and I just had to get over it. I just had to face my fear and I just had to do it. And it was a very hard conversation to have, but it luckily in my case, went
and
really
it worked out. Yeah. You did bring up a very good point, which is if their father or the other partner came to us and said, can I take, you know, our child away for a few months, how would we react? And I think it's different if we lived in different states, but then again, you're the one that still had her full time. I don't know if I could do it if the shoe was on the other end. I really don't think I could. It's that different connection with that mom, right? And sorry, dads, it's not like, but I feel like, I don't know if his dad came to me and say, hey, can I go live in another country for a few months? There's so many, you don't have to tell me the benefits, but I don't know if I could do that. So it is kudos to dads for the ones that let us do that. I think most dads understand there's that more of that connection. But yeah, I didn't even think about that until you said that. I'm like, I couldn't do it. I don't think I could do it.
Because we have that, like a really positive relationship and he's great. He wants what's best for her. I don't think he would ever want to take a learning opportunity away from her. So I'm really grateful that he was fully supportive and that he sees the opportunity. Like even if he can't be a full part of that opportunity, that he sees that it's an opportunity for her.
So I think that's a couple different points, though. So one, when you get that courage to bring it up, explain the whole opportunity, right? Make sure you present the opportunity. Don't just say, I want to take your child away, but only focus on everything this is going to give your child, right? So that's one pointer. But the other pointer was, like, you did a lot of research. And I know we're kind of jumping ahead, but your first place you took her was Mexico. And I want to talk about what research you did, but you did a lot of research so that he knew this is safe. Here's my research, right? You did that before you asked him, correct?
Yes. yeah, I definitely wanted to have all my ducks in a row before I even brought it up. Yeah.
Okay. And that's a good pointer as well. So just a couple things to keep in mind, because I'm hoping, just so you know, when you and I met originally, I'm like, I can do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask. So I still plan to ask, actually, after you and I record today. I am planning on calling him to ask him. So you're giving me that courage. So just so you know, hopefully we give other moms courage as well. So, so I do want to ask you, though, what finally pushed you to take that leap and say, like you said, you were a big traveler before. What pushed that leap, pushed you to say, okay, I'm going to do it with my daughter, even if it's just me and her, I'm doing it. What finally did that?
Well, you know, it was, I started thinking about this. I mean, I had always sort of had it in my head, but I started seriously thinking about it in 2020 lockdown. You know, I was just sitting around working from home at this point. My job had shifted. I was a teacher still. I still am a teacher, was now working online as a teacher, and just sitting around my apartment. And it just gave me more time to think and dream and plan. But being cooped up made me realize how much I really wanted to be out there and see the world. And I never, ever wanted to be cooped up again. As soon as it was possible to travel, I wanted to do it. And there was just like, I'm not going to wait around anymore. You know, I'm not going to wait for these dreams that I've always had to just one day happen. Like, they are going to happen. So I just started doing research, started watching YouTube videos, started joining Facebook groups for like, for different foreign or expat communities around the world. And just, it just gave me more of a visual. It just gave me more of a sense of what other people were already doing, like people who were already doing what I wanted to do. And so, yeah, whenever everything, the world kind of just shifted, I thought, this is just the perfect time to try it. I'm working online, and my daughter hadn't started kindergarten yet. She, at that point, was still in preschool. So I didn't feel too much pressure to try to, you know, be a perfect homeschooler or anything like that. I just thought it was a good time to just go for it. So that was 2021, beginning of 2021 when we went to Mexico.
Okay. No, and then, sorry, I just had I was going to ask you something, but I lost it. So it'll come back to me when I think about it. And then how did, because I know Mexico was the first country you took her to. Yeah. How did you pick where you went in Mexico?
So a couple things. So first of all, like, I picked Mexico because I had just been there a lot of times before. So I just already felt comfortable with Spanish. Like, I'm a Spanish teacher, so I already spoke Spanish. I felt comfortable with the culture. I have a connection to Mexico because my dad is from Mexico. So I just felt like if I'm going to take her to another country and be somewhere totally different, I at least want to have some level of comfort, you know? So I decided on Mexico. And then the reason I decided particularly on the Yucatan Peninsula and Mérida is because once I started doing research, Mérida just consistently came up as one of the safest cities in Mexico. And I do, you know, take the travel advisories of the State Department seriously. So I look on travel.state.gov, and before I go anywhere, I always look to see, you know, what level are we at safety wise? Is it a 1, 2, 3, 4? So there are a couple states in Mexico that are at a level 1, and Yucatan and Campeche are both at a level 1, like exercise normal precautions. So generally it's deemed a very safe area of Mexico. I also joined a lot of Facebook groups of foreigners who were living in Mérida. And so I just kind of got a sense of what they were doing. And there were also a lot of single moms in Mérida that I came across as I was, you know, connecting with people on Facebook. I just realized, you know, there were a lot of people who were already doing what I was doing. And not only people, like single mothers were also doing what I was doing. Like, already living in Mexico, there was already a group of single moms in Mérida. And
so, Americans, right?
American single moms.
Yeah, Americans, yeah.
Mostly Americans. Single moms who were already living there. And so, yeah, now I totally forgot what the question was. How did I choose Mérida? Yeah, how did I choose Mérida? So I was in a Facebook group called Single Moms in Mexico. And I think I started posting about Mérida and asking questions. And then someone was like, oh, hey, have you joined our group chat? And it was a group chat for just single moms that were living in Mérida. So I already had this group of moms that I was talking to before I even got there. So I just, the more I connected with people, the more I felt like, okay, this is safe. I'm not like blazing a new path or tons of people have already done this ahead of me. I'm not reinventing the wheel here. Like, people do this all the time. You know, this is totally possible. So that's how I chose Mexico. And that's how I guess I felt comfortable making that leap.
Yeah. And I think that's what helped alleviate your fears, right? I mean, you realized just how many other people in your exact position are already doing this. And I honestly never would have thought of looking for single moms in other, like, I never would have crossed my mind. I mean, there's travel groups out there on Facebook, which I'm a part of a few of those, but I never would have thought of, like, specifically single moms, specifically in an area. So it's great to know. I love knowing that. But I think the biggest point you bring up is that first, you already had this sense, you had a community that you were already creating. And so when you got there, it wasn't as scary because you already knew people, which is wonderful. But I think it's also just seeing that other people are doing this. It's not as scary when you realize just how many other people are doing it and happy and loving it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So your first trip, because it Mexico, the first time to the Yucatan, you were there for 3 months, was it?
For 3 months.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you were there for 3 months, and how did this first trip abroad together change you guys?
Well, first of all, of course, it brought us closer because we had these shared experiences that, you know, just between the two of us. So we have a lot of these, you know, stories that we like to tell people together. Also, you know, I felt like she, my daughter, is now more connected to her Mexican heritage. I mentioned before, my father's from Mexico. But a lot, like, we just really lost a lot of that connection to our Mexican roots because he's the only family member that I really know on his side of the family. So I was raised mostly English speaking and raised in the U.S. So I just felt like it brought us also closer to our Mexican heritage. She just has a lot more of an appreciation for Spanish than she did before we went. She's more interested. She understands more of why you need to learn a second language. So overall, I just think it kind of opened both of our eyes, and it just gave me more confidence in general, just going to another country with my kid and seeing that everything went fine, nothing bad happened, and we made friends, and, you know, just that we felt comfortable there. It just gave me more travel confidence in general. And that's how I was later able to, you know, end up going to countries that I'd never been to before and didn't speak the language at all. But it really started with that trip.
Yeah, I liked what you said before. You had said that it really lit a fire under you, right? Like, because of that confidence, it really helped you to realize that, wow, I could do this. And now the possibilities were endless, right?
Yep. I think that's, yeah, once you do it and once you say, like, whoa, you start believing in yourself. You're like, wow, I can't believe I just did that. I can't believe I took my daughter to Mexico and that, like, everything was fine and that we made all these friends and we had all these incredible experiences. And, you know, she saw the ocean for the first time. We climbed Mayan pyramids together, you know, just like all of these amazing experiences. And you see your child living these amazing, unforgettable life experiences. And it brings me so much joy to see her, like, to discover a country that I've already been to dozens of times, but to discover it through her eyes for the first time. And, you know, I just thought, like, I want to do this for the rest of my life. As long as she's with me and, you know, and she wants to travel, then I want to take her everywhere she wants to go. And I want to experience those things alongside her.
Yeah. And I love watching. So I hope anybody who's listening to this right now, you do have to go to YouTube and watch this as well, because it's great. The best part, the best thing I like about, especially single moms, is seeing them light up when they speak about that bond that was formed, what they got to experience with their child. And I think it's special because, yes, of course you have it when you travel as a family too, but I do think it is different when it's a single mom who, because she was courageous enough, she gave this to her daughter and look what I did, you know, look what I did. That's how I was the first time I went with my son. I traveled with him to Australia and I was like, I light up every time. I think it's like, and he was the same age as your daughter. He was 5 as well. And a lot of people think that's too young. What are they going to remember? And it's like, oh, there's so much more that you don't realize that happens when you travel, even when they're young.
Oh, yeah. And I felt like I was going to say something, too, and I totally forgot. But yeah, and it's funny what they remember, too. Sometimes, like, she's so looking forward to going back to Merida because there was this particular ice cream vendor that had really good ice cream. It's just one of the things that they remember about their travels. But yeah,
that's so cute.
It opens them up so much. I feel like she's such an open, joyous person, and it's so easy for her to make friends with anybody, you know, it just because she's so used to having to, you know, try to negotiate meaning in different languages. And
yeah,
and mom, can you put this on your Google Translate in Japanese? Because I want to tell my friend this, you know. Aww. So she's just an open, wonderful person. I know what I was going to say. You were talking about that extra, like, special connection with single moms and their kids. And she tells me regularly, you know, mom, you're my superhero. Like, you're so when we do that, when we face our fears, like, we're setting really good examples for our children.
Oh, that just gave me chills inside. So sweet. Now, I think you've already answered this, but I just want to make it clear. All your fears and everything that was built up before you went, was it as difficult and scary as you thought when you took this first trip abroad with your daughter?
No, of course not. It wasn't at all. So, and thankfully nothing happened at all. We didn't get sick. We didn't get hurt. It was perfect, you know? So, yeah, of course things can happen. Actually, I didn't even tell you, in Korea, she broke her toe like a week after we got there, but, but things can happen, but it all works out. Everything just seems to work out somehow. We're parents. We figure it out. You know, we're just so, I think you develop those skills as a parent. If you've already been parenting your kid for a few years, I was thinking earlier today about how when I first was in the hospital and then they hand me this baby and then they're like, you know, this is your baby. I just think, I remember thinking like, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know how to change her diaper. You start figuring it out, you know? And same thing, like when you travel, you just figure it out because that's just what you do as a parent.
I loved when you said that. I really did. Because I think it's really true. We don't realize that we already have these skills in us. And you brought up such a good point when you said that, you know, that your parenting skills automatically transfer over to something like this. You're right. I mean, we had to figure it out, right? And you did it because you had to. And yes, it was scary when you're for everybody's first baby. You remember, everyone's scared because you don't quite know. You think you know, like, you're being told what to do. But until it happens, you're like, oh, crap, here we go. Like, what do I do? You're right. It's the same thing. It's like, we figure it out. That's what we do as parents. That's what you do when you have the most precious person, people, you know, if you have kids in front of you, you figure it out because you have to. I think that's a really good point to bring up, is for all those people that are scared, just think about, like, you didn't have everything as a parent and you're still learning. Like, we all still learn as parents. Same thing with traveling. So I love that. I really loved when you said that. So thank you. Okay. Now let's talk a little bit more about Korea, because Korea, I was fascinated by, because I assumed you knew somebody there when you picked Korea, but you didn't.
Yeah, I did not at all. It sounds so random. Even to the Korean people that I made friends with when I was there, they were like, why are you in Korea? Like, how did you choose Korea? They just thought it was so fascinating that we were, you know? So, I started thinking. So after Mexico, we came back to the U.S. for a while, and I was working, and she did kindergarten in the U.S. And then I just realized, you know, ultimately, this is not really what I want to do. I don't want to be back to the grind in the U.S. Like I told you, being in Mexico lit a fire under me, and I still had a lot of dreams that had not yet been achieved. So I had further to go. I had more to do, and I still do. But I thought, okay, where is somewhere I can go that I've never been before? Like, you know, I'm very ambitious, right? Like, I'm going to go further than I've ever been before. So I've never been to Asia. It sounds ridiculous, right? So I've never been to Asia. Let's do that. Because, you know, before I had her, I traveled all over Latin America and U.S. and Europe. I wanted to go somewhere that was more of a challenge for me, but in a good way, not in a scary way or in a way that I would feel unsafe, just in a way that the culture is totally different, the food's totally different, the language is totally different. I felt ready. I felt finally that I had taken that, I could take that step, but it took a lot of, you know, it took a lot of planning. And then these other previous trips, there are steps, and we'll talk about that later. Like, there are steps that it takes to get to the point where you're ready to fly across the world with your kid. Because also, I gave up my apartment, I sold everything, I quit my job, and started working online again. So I did a lot to, it was a big thing, you know. And I, again, you know, I talked to her dad. I have never been to Asia before. Here are some of the countries I'm thinking about. And he said, okay, well, let me look into it too. And we decided to Korea together. It's one of the safest countries, and Seoul is one of the, you know, top 10 safest cities. And public transportation is excellent. So I just knew, you know, we weren't going to have a car there. It just seemed to make sense. And also, I was reading that Koreans are very child friendly, very open and warm towards children. They have a very, generally like a very accepting culture. Same with Mexico. I think people are very family oriented as well. So I thought, you know, this seems, it feels good. Nothing about this feels like it's not going to go well. So I think I'm just going to go with Korea. I was between, you know, going to Korea, going to maybe Singapore, Japan. Ultimately, we decided on Korea. And so I just booked the flight, right? I just booked the flight. I booked an Airbnb. I found a woman who, she's an Airbnb host. She's absolutely phenomenal. We're really good friends now. And Luna's really good friends with her youngest daughter. So I saw on Airbnb that she lived in the same building and she loved to take her guests out as well. She's so not just a landlord. She also liked to connect with foreigners because she had lived in Canada before and she wanted to keep practicing her English. So there's the whole description. That's awesome, yeah. like, okay, she's going to be more than just an Airbnb host or a landlord or a landlady. She's going to want to actually be friends with me. And I saw that she had children as well. And then it worked out better than I could even imagine. She was my downstairs neighbor. She was the one, whenever Luna broke her toe, she called the hospital and made an appointment to the doctor and translated for the doctor and everything. It just went so well. I can't even tell you how much I love Korea and I miss Korea every day. It's just an incredible country. And the people are just as I thought they would be when I was doing research. And, you know, they are so child friendly, so sweet, so helpful. Even if they speak no English, they're always like, they were always trying to help. I have nothing bad to say about Korea at all. It was incredible. Oh,
that's so wonderful, because I don't think a lot of Americans know anything about Korea, honestly. I mean, you only hear bad stuff and you don't, I think a lot of people just geography don't realize there's north and south and which one's safe and which one's not. And I just don't think, I think you only hear bad things, right? You don't realize that that's a different part of Korea, completely. It's not even the same. But you don't hear anything about South Korea. You really don't.
Right. And it's cool. You're right. You don't hear a lot, or you might not know. But, you know, my daughter now, because we were there, knows all about the conflict between North and South Korea and about the Korean War. We visited the Korean War Memorial. So that's part of just learning as you're traveling. She knows. Yeah. She knows so much that a typical 7-year-old might not know.
And that's where world scrolling comes into place, right? Because how many 7-year-olds can say that they understand, you know, about the conflict in North and South Korea and the Korean War, like, you know, part of world scrolling. That's why they say, right? So now what about the language though? How did you do that when you didn't even speak the language?
I spoke no Korean. I still don't speak much. I speak a little more than before I started. But it was the first time that I really had to rely on Google Translate for everything. I just, even going to the grocery store, I would look at something and be like, I can't even read the label. I can't even guess what the label says because we don't even have the same alphabet. You know, I had never been in a country like that. So I use the Google Translate app, and you can put the click on camera and then put the lens. It took twice as long to go grocery shopping in the beginning. If you're there for 3, 4, whatever months, if you're in a country like that for an extended period of time, you start getting to know certain people in your neighborhood. You start getting to know the places that you like to go, the foods that you like to buy at the store. So in the beginning, it's really tedious and time consuming sometimes, but you get used to it and it gets faster. It gets easier. Yeah.
I love that you didn't let it stop you and you embraced it, and it showed Luna that you can do this too. I mean, that's amazing. And you guys were there, you lived there for how long?
About 3 months. And I wanted to mention that in case anyone's interested in traveling to Korea, the subway system, they announce all the subway stops in English as well after Korean. And then all of the street signs have the Korean alphabet and then the Roman alphabet. So you can read all the street signs as well. It's
that's very good to know too. Very helpful. See, look at that. I think you've added Korea on a couple people's lists. I know you did mine. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Okay. Then after that, you also went to Japan. Japan was a little different because you didn't live there per se, more you visited Japan.
Yeah, we were there for an extended trip. We stayed for over a month, but because we went to several different cities, we went to three different cities in that time span, it felt less of living there and more of actually just like we were traveling and exploring around the country. So it was still a really amazing experience, but it was a totally different experience.
Yeah. And why Japan?
Why Japan? Well, it was a 2-hour flight from Korea. It's the closest country, you know, so.
Oh, you went right after Korea?
Yeah, we went directly from Korea to Japan. So it was convenient to go there. Also, I had been wanting to go there. That was one of the top countries I wanted to go to when I was considering even going to Asia in the first place. And it was closed off at the time due to COVID restrictions. So as soon as they opened, I knew like I wanted to go because who knows when I'll be on this side of the world again. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I do want to know, I forgot to ask you when you were in Korea, like actually for Korea and Japan, how affordable is that? Because I know Mexico, I can understand that being affordable, but how about Korea and Japan?
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on where you go. Like Tokyo is very expensive. We didn't stay in Tokyo the whole time, but we stayed in a couple other cities. Fukui was the first city we stayed in. That's where we did a work stay, a home stay with the family. And then in Kyoto, Japan, I did not find those cities to be expensive at all. I'm from Dallas, Texas, so I don't know if that helps anybody gauge kind of like cost of living, but I felt like Seoul and Dallas were comparable as well. I stayed in the north of Seoul. I didn't stay right in the center of the city with the really, you know, hip, cool districts. I definitely stayed more on the outskirts and okay. That cut costs down. Yeah.
Okay. Now that makes sense. But I would imagine though, way more than Mexico.
Oh yeah. It's not, I mean, Korea and Japan are not known for being super affordable or cheap countries, but they're not, you know, more expensive than the US, I would say.
Okay. So now that brings us to money though. How did you afford to live in each one of these destinations? Like, let's just start with Mexico. How did you support yourself and your daughter in Mexico?
So I've been working online for 4 years as a Spanish teacher. So I teach Spanish online. And then I also do other odd jobs, you know, freelance jobs when they present themselves, like curriculum writing, curriculum development, freelance writing. So a hodgepodge of different things. But my main source of income would be the online Spanish classes.
Okay. And then in Korea, it was a little different because you had that homestay, right?
Yes. Yeah, so that's true. So we've got the income, right, coming in. And then it was Japan, actually. There are other things you can do to cut costs. So obviously, like, we need some source of income, but then also you got to reduce your living expenses. So the first place that we went to in Japan was Fukui, Japan. And I had, because I'm always doing my research, I'm just fascinated by this whole topic of traveling and world schooling and all of this. So I came across someone who had traveled almost for free for over a year by using workaway.info. And I thought, well, that's really cool. But she was a young, you know, single, you know, childless traveler. So I thought, well, I don't know if that's something that I can do with a kid. Let me look into it. And sure enough, they have families on Workaway. And I'll explain Workaway in a second. But there are families that do Workaway. So Workaway is it's just their homestay programs all around the world, not just Japan. But, you know, we were in Japan, so I decided to find one while we were there. And families or individuals or whoever, let's say just the hosts, have different things that they want workawayers to do. In my case, there was a family in Fukui that was looking for people to come stay with them to teach English to their children and to play with their children, just to occupy their children while they were running errands, cooking dinner, things like that. So just babysitting and teaching English. And I thought, well, you know, I can do that. And I can do that with a kid. Let me see if they would be comfortable with me bringing my daughter. And I messaged the mom and she was very, you know, like open to the idea. She was really excited. I don't think she had a kid stay there before, but she's had a lot of people stay there in the past. They're constant. They're the kind of family that constantly has guests over. So they have their whole upstairs is just all guest rooms. They love having people from different countries. They're very international people, like internationally, like open-minded people. And so, I mean, every night at dinner, they always had like different people coming from different countries. So it was just a great experience. And their children, I mean, think about their children. They're going to just have all of these amazing experiences. Yeah. Different people and, you know, having English speakers stay with them in their home from a young age. And it was a great experience for my daughter as well. She, you know, got to be friends with local people and see how they live. And she, you know, helped them cook their dinner sometimes. So she learned how to roll sushi and she learned how to make this vegetable that she really likes. And that's the first time she really cut vegetables and things so like that. So she learned just as much as they did. And it was an amazing experience there. And you know, it didn't cost us anything. Our food and our accommodation, that was provided because of the service that we provided them.
Which I'm so grateful that you said that because I never heard of workaway.info. So I love that. Now Korea then, what did you do in Korea?
In Korea, we were in an Airbnb and I was working online. Teaching my classes online. So I'm always doing teaching. But I try to also cut costs on accommodation. That helps a lot whenever you can. So I've done some volunteer things. We also did another volunteer experience in Japan where we stayed in a small little village and cut logs and cleared out an old attic and it's interesting the things that you find when you start. I wouldn't have known about that unless I had done this first homestay because the mom said, hey, I think you should go to this village and do this thing. What do you think about that? So as you just get out there and put yourself out there and connect with people, you just find out about more and more things that you never would have known existed if you were just, you know, sitting at home.
And you're doing all this, not even speaking the language, see?
Yeah.
Now, I know you mentioned that you do also get jobs from Flex Jobs. That's where you get some miscellaneous jobs, right?
Flexjobs.com. So that I always like to recommend that to people who are asking about online work because, you know, you can say, oh, just get a job online. But well, what does that really mean? How do I even do that? So Flex Jobs take a sip of water. It has jobs, online jobs for every industry. So I always look for education jobs on there. And that's where I found teaching jobs and some other education related jobs.
Okay. So Flex Job and one that you mentioned that you haven't done, but I do want to tell everybody else about it was trustedhousesitters.com.
Yeah. So I signed up for Trusted House Sitters because I've seen that a lot of different families are doing this house sitting and pet sitting around the world. Well, something that I want to look into, but I haven't personally done it yet, but I've heard really good things. So you can go in and say a family or, you know, just the homeowners are leaving for a week or even a few months to go somewhere else. They want someone to stay at home with their animals while they're gone. Well, you can be that person and stay there.
Yeah. See, I love that too. I'm so many options I didn't know about. I love it. Okay.
My swallow it. Okay.
Don't die on me. I need you to keep talking.
I got like something in my throat. So
I'm so selfish. Look at me. Keep talking. I need to take your brain. I need to take everything out. Are you okay?
During the recording that I'm like coughing, but no, I'm fine.
Okay. Now this is all the wonderful parts of living abroad and traveling abroad with your daughter, but you know, the most difficult part that you told me about was missing your family and friends, right? You're not denying that. That's hard.
Yeah, not at all. You know, I think that it is for me and for a lot of people, the hardest part. I'm extremely close to my family and I have very, very good friends in Texas that I grew up with. I'm still really close to them and I miss them when we're gone, but I can't let that hold me back from all of these other experiences that I want to have, you know, and they are supportive. Luckily, my family, my friends are supportive of me, and that's really important to me as well. And so, but yeah, it's hard. I mean, what can you do? We keep in touch. We call, we FaceTime, we see them when we're back. But I mean, it is, that's the hardest part for me is, and the hardest part for my daughter too. She's also really close to my parents. So we do miss them. And, you know, ultimately it's just one of those sacrifices that you make to be able to have this other experience that you know you really want to have as well.
And you don't feel your daughters resented you because of it?
No, I mean, I think that we won't do this forever. I think, you know, maybe a couple more years and we might settle down somewhere that's not too far away so that we can be visiting more regularly. I think that she right now, hopefully won't resent me. And right now she doesn't. And hopefully also in the future will understand that those choices when she sees, okay, well, I speak another language because of this, or I have these other experiences that I might not have had because of this. I think it's hard. You have to, as a parent, sometimes make choices that are really difficult, and you're just making the choice that you think is the best for your life and for your child. And, you know, if I would just have stayed here and been in the same environment that I was in, I didn't really like the job I had before. There was a school I was working at that I didn't like. I was really unhappy. I was putting out this really negative vibe into the world for a while. And my daughter was picking up on that. I think she would have resented me way more for being an unhappy mom who doesn't like her job, who just doesn't like what she's doing with her life. You know, her seeing me now, and you were talking about me lighting up earlier, you know, talking about our travels. I think that she's inspired now, that she's she looks up to me because I'm chasing after my dream. So yeah, I think that it's hard, but she would rather see me happy than to be hanging out with a really sad mom who doesn't like her life. So.
Yeah, no. And that's, I mean, thank you for sharing that, because that's not, you know, I want to be real and show other moms and parents that there is a real side to this. You know, obviously you wouldn't be doing it if the negatives outweighed the benefits. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's just important to share that side as well. It's not 100% perfect, but it's right. Definitely worth it. And your kids will understand and see the benefits later. So, or at least until they don't, then maybe that's when you have a different conversation. Right. So, okay. Before we leave, I'm going to touch on the advice that you have for single parents who are scared to travel abroad with their children. But before I do that, I did want to ask you really quickly. We had briefly spoke about how you are going to do a combination of world schooling and kind of traditional homeschooling, right?
Yeah.
So what are you using for your traditional homeschooling?
So it's a Celis Academy. The homeschool part of it is called Power Homeschool. And it's a monthly subscription service. And so we log in every day and we do it. It covers first grade Common Core curriculum. And it really takes us about an hour a day to do it. And so after that hour, we do that first thing in the morning, you know, eat breakfast and then do an hour of that traditional schooling. And then from there, she can do whatever she's interested in, or, you know, whatever experience we have planned for the day. So she's been really interested in fashion design. So I signed her up on OutSchool for a fashion design 101 class for young children. So she's learning how to do sketching, and she's learning the different terminology for fashion vocabulary and things like that. So I'm letting her explore that. And then we can plan. I do, like, you know, we're always in interesting places with tons of things to do. So they're so easy to just go to a museum or go to a park or meet up with other world schoolers in the city that you're in. So just all of that combined, just it gives a really complete, well-rounded education.
Yeah. And I like that, because I was telling you that I don't think I would be ready to do 100% world schooling, because I do see some benefits of, there's some traditional things that I do want him to learn, like foundational stuff, but I like that, you know, you can do both. And what was the name of it you called? What was the
Power Homeschool.
Power Homeschool, but then it was something Academy.
Oh yeah. So Acelis, I guess I'll bring it up. Acelis Academy is the name of the company. So you can pay to get accreditation. So that might be something I would consider, like, in high school, if you want them to have actual credits, then you can pay for that. But I don't pay the extra for that. I just pay to access the curriculum, just $25 a month, homeschool. It's Power Homeschool, but it's the same exact videos and materials as the accredited thing, the accredited program, but I'm just not getting accredited because it's, I just don't think right now in first grade it's as important. Yeah.
Okay. But what you're doing, though, if you decide, say, like, my son's in third grade, so if I did it with him right now, could I change it so that it would qualify so that he would meet the third grade requirements, correct?
Yeah. So it's the same whether or not you're paying for accreditation or not paying for it, because I can still get a transcript and send it to her school. It depends on your state. Texas is really flexible with their homeschool laws. So I could print out a transcript, and if she wants to go to second grade next year, I can hand that to them at the school and talk to them about where she's at. She might need some testing or something when she wants to go back to school. But it like I said, it really depends on your state, because Texas is very flexible with what homeschoolers are allowed to do. Yeah.
No, that's good to know. Thank you. I tell you, my wheels are turning.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's, I want to, before we leave, if you can give that advice for single parents who are kind of scared to travel, what you think that they should do.
Okay. So this was me not that long ago. I was, you know, 2020, I'm just, that's when I was like, I'm thinking about this. The wheels are turning. I'm stuck at home. 2021. So I think 2020 is the first time I did any sort of small road trips around Texas or day trips. So start with a day trip. Is there somewhere that is less than 2 hours away from your city that seems really fun? Is there something to do, you know, a wildlife center or a zoo or something a couple hours away, or an interesting town to go visit? There must be something, right? So if you can handle that, then you can handle maybe like a weekend trip in your state, or, you know, just somewhere around your region. It just takes steps, right? So day trips, weekend trips, maybe week-long trips. Maybe you're staying in your home country this whole time. When you're finally ready to travel to another country, if you've already traveled to this country before you had a child, that's a really good place to start. In my case, I went to Mexico. I was most comfortable with Mexico. That is the country that I had been to the most before I had a child. So I felt like that was a really good place to start. I also spoke the language. So is there another language you speak? Or if not, I mean, there are plenty of English speaking countries or countries that where generally English is widely spoken that you can start with. So it's just those baby steps. I think when we did our, when we talked earlier, you mentioned, or you asked me, do you feel like being friends and mostly making friends with English speakers hindered you in any way from really getting access to that, you know, Spanish and
cultural experience, yeah,
there in 2021. And yes, of course it did, because we were hanging out with English speakers all the time. But when I thought about it later, I thought, you know, the point this time, because we're going back to the same place, we're going to Merida, is we are going to focus more on language. But the first time we went, and the first time we went abroad together, the point was just to get out there, you know, like just
it's true.
So it's okay if you can't have all of these experiences, or you're not fully ready to immerse yourself in a language or in certain experiences. It's okay. Just the point is just to take the step. So because maybe in future, like now I'm 2 years later, you know, like I'm going to be enrolling her in a learning pod while we're down there. So she will be fully immersed in Spanish every day.
What's a learning pod?
So a learning pod, I found this agency. It's this nanny agency that they hire out nannies, but they also have like little homeschool groups, and it's just like an informal learning group, and you get together with other kids for a few hours every day, and they do all of their activities in English and Spanish. So she's going to be doing that every day. I'm really excited. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
The director yesterday. So, yeah. So I guess that you start with we already did this, day trips, weekend trips, week-long trips, places you feel comfortable with. Once all of that feels comfortable, once you've maybe had your first international trip abroad and you feel like, okay, I can do this, this is feeling okay, you just keep going a little further. Because the higher you raise the bar, you know, the more your comfort level expands. What you feel comfortable with, you feel just comfortable with more things than you used to feel comfortable with. So that's when you can just push your comfort level, you know, push that comfort zone a little bit further. And so the more you expand your comfort zone, the further you can go in the world and the more experiences you can have. So, but it just takes time. It really just takes time. It took me, you know, I don't know, it just took me a while to get to that point where I felt like, oh, I can book a trip to Korea.
Well, and you said that each time, even though you're starting small like this, each time it gave you a little bit more confidence, a little bit more confidence, until it got you to the point where you're like, I can do this. But you started off with zero confidence, and you started these baby steps, and you worked your way up to where you have loads of confidence. You're like, I can go anywhere now.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So it's you get more confident. You get that travel confidence as you go. Just like we were talking about when you first have that baby and you're like, what am I doing? You just, it happens. You get more confidence as you go. And so, yeah, now I don't feel nervous at all booking a flight or going to a new city. It's crazy to me. It blows my mind to think about, like, I was on an airplane from Korea to Japan, two countries that I, you know, or even on the way to Korea, the whole trajectory from Korea or from the US to Korea to Japan and figuring out all of these new things and new, you know, public transportation systems, new languages. I was not nervous at all. I don't know why, but I just wasn't. I think it was just because I had all of these other experiences and I just gotten to that level where I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I know that I can figure it out. I'm fully confident that I can figure it out or ask for help or, you know, do research. I just felt like anything is possible. I know that, like, I am fully confident that I can work this out. So I didn't feel
nervous. 5 years ago, that wouldn't have been you, though.
Wouldn't have been me. It all started just with, hey, let's go to the wildlife center an hour away from our house. You know, it starts there. And don't compare yourself to anybody. You know, if you're like, you know, listening to this and thinking, oh man, I could never fly from the US to Korea with my kid. Well, 5 years ago, I couldn't have either. You know, just everyone's on their own journey and you just do what feels right for you. Just like, just push your comfort zone a little bit more every time. And you'll eventually get to that place that I think you want to be at.
That's such great advice. It really is, especially since it's what you did. And obviously, look what it's done for you and now what you're able to give your daughter and the experiences and the bonding and the memories that you guys are going to forever have. So wonderful advice. Oh, such a pleasure to speak with you. And I know a lot of people will get so much from this. So thank you for sharing all of your experiences with us. I can't wait to hear about your next trip because I know even though you're going back, it's going to be a completely different experience for you this time. And as she gets older, it's going to be different as well. So I can't wait to hear where you guys keep going and it's wonderful. So thank you for coming on the show and sharing everything with us, Lydia.
Thank you, Erica.
Okay. Well, if you enjoyed the show, make sure to follow us on Facebook at Planes, Trains, Kids Abroad to get updates on upcoming podcasts, share your own overseas travel adventures, or ask questions from other parents who have traveled abroad. If you would like to join me as a guest on the show, please sign up at planestrainskidsabroad.com and help me to inspire other families to experience their own overseas travel adventures. I want to thank you for listening to the show and thank Ray Ortiz for providing music for the show. Until next time.